Hello, this is Erin. If you are new to the podcast, you're very welcome. If you're not, welcome back. I just want to hijack this episode very quickly by saying thank you so much for all the love, support and positive feedback that I've been getting since the beginning of the year. I really appreciate it. Secondly, these two back-to-back episodes are an extension of episode 39, Ask Me Anything. I'm answering one specific question in two parts. All right, let's get on with it. Hi, this is Erin, and welcome to Everything EFL, my little podcast about English language teaching and other teachy stuff too. Credit and honourable mentions will be given during the episode or in the show notes. Let's crack on. So, you're interested in future forms, are you? You brave thing. I hope you're well and ready for a bit of grammar. I haven't done a grammar episode since episode 25, where myself and Shane looked at his favourite, the second condish. Okay, so as part of my Ask Me Anything episode, I mentioned Pamela Pfeiffer-Fahey's question about future forms, and I did mention it was far too much to include in that episode. And in fact, it's going to take two episodes to talk about this, but I do deliver my promises, so here we go. Right, where do we even begin? Pamela says teaching them individually is okay, but when they're contrasted together in a lesson, she feels like she trips up a bit and the students get confused. But I mean, are you surprised? Because I'm not. I mean, it's an absolute flipping minefield. Even if you think about will, okay? The functions of will, you've got offers, promises, threats, predictions, decisions, future facts, habitual events. I probably haven't even covered all of them there. And then, of course, you've got like the more complex stuff, about to, due to, set to, bound to. And then you have the dreaded future continuous and the future perfect. And there's so many little subtle nuances between these little things. I mean, it would be hard for a native speaker or even a quite an experienced teacher to sort of navigate through this total minefield. Did you know that the future isn't even considered a tense in English? I mean, I wouldn't tell your students that because their heads will probably explode. And then you've got the whole be going to versus present continuous thing. Cue headache. I mean, you know, it's just a nightmare. So what do I want to achieve in this episode? Okay, I'm not going to go through everything. I'm going to sort of start with the basics. I'm going to split the episode into two because at the end of the day, even the most eager teacher's head will go numb after about 15 minutes of me blithering on about the future. So I'm going to tackle the classic conundrum of will and going to today. And then in the next episode, I'll talk about be going to versus the present continuous. So, where to begin? Okay, a lot of students forget or they don't know that both will and going to can be used for both predictions and intentions. So this is where the confusion generally begins. So I'm just going to talk through an activity that I use, first of all, just to elicit the difference in meaning between will and going to for both predictions and intentions. Now, this is an activity from a classic book called Intermediate Grammar Games by Jill Hadfield. It's activity number 5. There are 12 flashcards. Now, I will put these on Instagram and Facebook when I post this episode so you can see them. Now, basically, you have 6 pictures showing pictures illustrating intention with will and going to, and then you have 6 pictures illustrating prediction with will and going to. So you can use both sets of cards if you want to do all 4 meanings, or if you've got a lower level and you just want to concentrate on prediction or intention, you can use the 6 prediction cards or the 6 intention cards. It depends on the level, knowledge, strength of your class. It's totally your call. Now, I'm going to do my best to try and describe some of these cards, so bear with me. So, like I said, 6 of the cards illustrate intention with will and going to. So I'll give you an example of 2 of the cards demonstrating prediction, so you can see what I mean. So there's 1 pair of cards, okay? The first one, there's a boy at the bottom of a ladder. Mum says, don't go up there, you will fall. Why? This is the mum's opinion. It's based on her past experience, her knowledge of the situation, and her own fearful emotions as a mum. The second picture, which is very, very similar, is the boy at the top of the ladder and it's leaning over and he's like, ah! And the mum says, look out, you're going to fall. you're going to fall because the ladder is leaning over, and there's only one way this is going to end. The fact that the ladder is tipping over is the evidence needed to use going to. So you've basically got six cards, and they're in pairs, two very, very similar pictures that you can compare and contrast will going to and why. And then for decisions, there are six cards, again, three very similar pairs. I'll give you an example. Two people are in a restaurant and are just about to order. One woman says, "I'll have the chicken, I think." So she's just made the decision at that moment. But the second card, which is very similar, one of the pair is running late and her friend has already ordered. She's going to have the chicken because she made that decision before her friend arrived. So illustrations are a really nice way of eliciting the differences. It's engaging, and if the pictures are simple enough, which I think these ones are, there's not a lot of room for abstract interpretation. Like, we need to be quite concrete here when we're eliciting these meanings. So I give, let's say for example, I'm just going to concentrate on will and going to for intention. I'll take those six cards, I'll copy them so that students can sit in groups of three or four and pair up the similar cards, and then they look at the similar cards and discuss the difference in meaning. Why did this picture use will? Why did this one use going to? And then I usually have a PowerPoint of the pairs of pictures for whole class feedback. It's an easy way to clarify the differences. You can nominate students to tell you what the differences are after you've given them plenty of time for discussion. So in my mind, that's probably the easiest way to elicit the difference between them. So what's the next step? Well, I mean, I'm sure there are more imaginative teachers out there than me, but for me, there's no getting around, you know, your standard gap fill, but try and make them a bit fun. You can use, again, use pictures as prompts instead of whole sentences. So you can have a person with like a real green face with the cheeks puffed out, clutching their stomach, you know, will throw up or going to throw up. It's easy for students to look at this and go, okay, going to is correct. He's green. He's clutching his stomach. He's pursing his lips. It's only a matter of time. Do you need a couple of games for freer practice? How about the Bible that is 700 Activities by Seymour and Popova Macmillan? This book is, I mean, if you don't have this book already, get a copy. It's available. It's out there. It's like, it's just this arsenal of no to low prep activities. So, you know, you just literally look in the index, you'll find what you need, you read the activity and bam, just go and do it. What more do you want from a teaching resource? So there's an activity just called short sentences, and it's to practice instant decisions using will. Because I think with instant decisions, students either translate into their language or they just don't know what to use. A lot of the times they use the present simple, you know, that bag looks heavy, I help you, instead of I'll help you. It's a small thing, but it's something that they generally don't get right. So you can do this a number of ways. You can put the sentences on the board, you can cut them up and put them around the room. But basically, there's lots of short sentences. For example, ouch, I've cut myself. Students read it and they make an on-the-spot decision. I'll get a plaster, I'll clean it, something like that. There's about 10 examples. And what I like to do is encourage, let's say they're in a pair, encourage each pair to say something different. So, ouch, I've cut myself. One student might say, I'll get a plaster. One student might say, I'll clean it, but they have to say something different. You could also include the negative, I don't think I'll, or I probably won't, as a negative response. But I think these are definitely more natural than I won't. Like, I don't think we use I won't on its own very much. So I don't think I'll, or I probably won't, as a negative response would be good here. If you want more examples of those short sentences, there's another classic book called Games for Grammar Practice, and it's game number 4.2 called Make It Snappy. And again, there's just lots more short sentences that prompt a spontaneous response. Also in the magical canon that is 700 activities, there's an activity called Evidence, and it's to practice decisions made before the moment of speaking with going to. So again, it works with prompt sentences. For example, there's a bottle of wine on the table, and then students respond with, I'm going to drink it, or I'm going to give it to my mum, or something like that. But the idea is they've already decided before the moment of speaking what they're going to do with this thing or the action they're going to take. Now, I like this one with mini whiteboards if you have them, or maybe you just have bits of paper you can give them, but you can show them the prompt or you can read the prompt out. For example, there's a bottle of wine on the table, and give them about 20 or 30 seconds to write an answer down on their mini whiteboards and hold it up as quickly as they can. You could introduce points. Groups could get more points if their answer is different from other groups, so it encourages them to use their imagination a little bit. If you're teaching online, maybe Jamboard or something similar might be good for this. They can just type in their answers. Now, predictions. You can have a lot of fun with predictions with Will and Going To. If you go to YouTube and type in what happens next games, you will find lots of clips where there's something happening, some kind of action. Let's say somebody's cycling along the road, and then the clip pauses and it asks you what happens next, and you have to guess. So put the students into small groups, and you guessed it, they have to predict what happens next. But give them a little bit of scaffolding here. Give them some phrases before you start. So if they think they, in their mind, if they can see clear evidence of what they think's going to happen, they could say, he's gonna, he's definitely gonna, or something like that. If the prediction is just their own opinion, they're not entirely sure, so they're just predicting from their own ideas. Phrases like, I think he'll, or he'll probably. I think it's very natural to include words like this. So give them those phrases instead of just he will or he's going to, okay? And I would also encourage contractions here. I don't know, some teachers are a bit funny about them, but I think it's spoken grammar. It's essential that they start talking like this. But again, you're cool. Anyway, this game is, it's great fun. It's very interactive. It's very engaging. You could also try and find some clips with current sports events or news to get students to predict future events. Whatever they're interested in really can be used as a context. You know your students better than me. So again, you're cool. Okay, so that's it for today. I think we've had enough. I need a bit of a rest because I'm going to dive straight into the next episode after I say goodbye to you here. So join me in the next episode where I cover such fascinating topics as going to versus present continuous. Trust me, it will change your life a bit. I know you have tons more ideas than me, and I'd love you to post them on social media when I post this episode. Let's share our ideas and help each other out. Thank you so much for listening. This podcast is free and always will be, so if you feel like giving something back, you can do one of the following. You can subscribe to the podcast on your preferred platform, spare a few minutes and write me a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify, follow Everything EFL on Instagram, Facebook or Twitter, and engage with me and my followers. If you would like to contact me, my email is in the show notes. Finally, and most importantly, share this episode on social media and tell your colleagues. Share the love. Bye.